Hello, and welcome to the Curious Expression podcast. I'm your host, Pinder Singh. Curious Expression is where interesting guests share their knowledge and expertise with the world. In this episode, I had the opportunity to speak with John Leister. He lives in Vancouver, BC, Canada, and he became a self-published author in 2019 after he reached out to God. He knows exactly what he wants in life, and for as long as his corporeal existence continues, he will never give up on his dream. I hope that you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much, John, for being here. Welcome to the Curious Expression podcast.
Thank you, Pinder. I really appreciate it. It's a great honor.
So, John, for people that don't know who you are and what you're about, can you give us some details about what you do?
Sure. Well, I'm currently working as a security guard. I've been a security guard for 35 years, believe it or not. When I was a boy, I was really into Marvel and DC Comics, and I grew up in the 1970s. And that was a different era for so-called geeks and nerds. You know, if you liked comics and superheroes and that kind of stuff, I think there was very much a stigma attached to it. I'm a Canadian, as you can tell. I grew up in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And, you know, Canadian culture is, mostly hockey. You know, Canadian men especially, I don't mean to stereotype, but a lot of Canadian guys basically eat, sleep, and breathe hockey. And I just wasn't, I did not come to this corporeal body with that gene. I have no contempt for sports. I think sports are fantastic. I just, when I was a kid, I wanted to watch Star Trek and read my comic books. And I like shows like The Brady Bunch. And it always broke my heart when people made fun of that stuff, because I thought, gosh, you know, these are stories about idealized people. You know, these are people that I want to hang out with. You know, they're cheerful and they're friendly and they're warm. And, you know, they don't run to the liquor store every time there's a hiccup in life, right? They face every challenge head on. And if plan A doesn't work, then they go to plan B. So anyway, I don't know what happened. I gave up on my dream of drawing. I wanted to be a comic book artist when I was a kid. And I was good at drawing, but I gave up. I guess I got lazy and I was too extroverted at that point in my life. And then after high school, which would be the early 1980s, I tried acting for a couple of years. There was a show in the 1960s called The Big Golly. It was a Western, and one of the stars of that show, Peter Breck, he came to Vancouver and he started an acting school called the Breck Academy. So I don't know how old you are, but I got to meet Gene Hackman. I got to meet Richard Dreyfuss. You know, they were huge stars back in the day. You know, they're still around. They're still acting. And that was an incredible experience. You know, I just walked past this acting school one day and said, I'm not really doing anything with my life. You know, maybe I'll try acting. And I discovered that I really loved it. And I was going for it for about 2 years. I was an extra in Rocky IV. That was kind of my 50 minutes of fame. They had an open casting call. The big fight with Ivan Drago was shot at the Agrodome in East Vancouver. So I went with my buddy Jeff, and, you know, we sat in the audience chanting Rocky, you know, that was an amazing experience. But unfortunately, and I don't mean to gross you or any of your listeners out, what happened was I developed psoriasis. And I've always had very, very dry skin as far back as I can remember. And as I got into my early 20s, it just got exponentially worse and worse. And psoriasis is hereditary, but it's also exacerbated by mitigating factors such as stress and poor diet. I'm a recovering sugaraholic. You know, I used to be very overweight. I used to weigh anywhere from 25 to 250 pounds. So I was just living like a couch potato, pounding down junk food every day. So my skin got to be so bad, like literally pieces of skin were coming off my face, and I felt like less like a human. Yeah, that's how bad it was. And I tried a variety of treatments and very little, you know, it's kind of, you know, you have to be all in 100%. You can't just try a treatment and then have a donut or stress out everything. You know, one's going to counteract the other. So I gave up on my dream of acting. But I was doing some writing back then too. You know, writing has always been kind of the one constant in my life that I kept coming back to. I always felt that I came to this world with an artsy spirit, that I was meant to do something creative with my life. And so over the years, I made these sort of half-hearted, sporadic attempts at writing. You know, I'd write a screenplay or I'd write a short novel, and I would show it to people. And the feedback I got was, you know, pretty lukewarm at best. And then in 2019, my life changed. And this is why you're interviewing me right now. And I don't want to be pushy or preachy about this stuff. I don't mean to, you know, I have a philosophy. It's not a religion per se, but it's a mindset, and it's one that's worked out for me pretty well so far. Let's just say that I like this version of myself a lot more than my pre-2019 version of myself. And that was the year I reached out to God. And I said, "Our Heavenly Father, I've been hearing about you my whole life. I don't know if you're real. I don't know if I'm talking to myself right now. But I realized that I'm the kind of person, Pinder, who tries a little bit harder if I have it in my mind's eye all the time that the creator of the universe for real is watching. He's watching all of us. He gave us free will, because if we didn't have free will, what would be the point in our lives? You know, we have choices. I mean, we have to make 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 choices in our lives every day, and they're not always going to be the best choices. But once I reached out to God, once I took this leap of faith, a funny thing happened. I'm not suggesting that anything mystical happened, but I felt a sense of decompression. I felt a sense of relaxation, of self-acceptance. And another motivating factor for me has been getting older, which has been really a plus for me. Everybody moans and groans about getting old. I'm not one of those guys. I'm elated about getting older, because being more aware of the finiteness of time is very motivating. And so just to backtrack a little bit, Pinder, I wrote a bunch of short stories around 2010 based on about this character, Lee Hacklin. He's my main character in all of my books. And he's a private investigator. And most of my stories take place during the 70s and the 80s, because that's when I was a young man. I hate writing about technology. You know, I never want to have Lee looking for a kidnapped kid, you know, by going online, right? That's boring. Right? You've got to do the label. And so I just wrote these stories at work. One of my security gigs over a period of several months, just for my own amusement. I don't even think I was aware of Amazon. This would be around 2005. I just wrote them for my own amusement more than anything else. So I made hard copies, thank goodness. And after I reached out to God and I asked him to help me start believing in myself a little bit more, I dusted these stories off. There were about 50 or 60 of them. You know, the pages were curled and were yellow and dusty. I blew the dust off. And I don't know if you do any creative writing. It's hard to be objective about your own stuff. At the end of the day, I think we're all our own worst critics. But I was able to read these stories as if someone else knew them. And I thought, gosh, you know, I know this is not great literature. You know, this is not going to win me any awards. Mm-hmm. But I've seen movies that are a lot worse than this. And I found myself chuckling as I was turning the pages. And so that was the beginning of my journey of becoming a self-published author. And again, this was in 2019, and it was a tremendous uphill battle for me to get that first darn book posted. Plug, 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 very shameless to plug this product. My first book is called The Collected Case, Lee Hacklin, 1970s Private Investigator, Book 1. And I remember, and it's an important life lesson, I feel. When we embark on a new journey in our lives, like the real journey, you know, the journey that we're meant to be on, you have to have it in our mind's eyes that there's going to be hiccups along the way. You know, there's going to be unforeseen obstacles. And when I tried to post that first book, first of all, Amazon was telling me to have this banking information, and they would go to the bank and they would say it's the right information. I was going to circles. If I didn't have God in my life, if there's such a thing as parallel timelines like Back to the Future or Star Trek, where I tried to do this in 2018 and I hadn't taken a sleep of faith, knowing who I was back then, I would have given up after 3 tries, because I just wasn't that guy. You know, successful people, they persist, right? They persevere. They know that there's going to be hiccups along the way, and it's fine. They accept it's part of the life's journey. And some of us, you know, we just have weaker mindsets. You know, when we're younger, and it all starts at home. And I don't mean to throw my parents under the bus, but they were very emotional people. And sometimes we absorb a lot of really weak and limited mindsets from other people when we're kids, and we're not even aware of it. And that's why so many of us, I think, are struggling in life. We're struggling because we know better, you know, we know what the right choices are that are right for us, but we don't have the faith, we don't have the mindset to move towards, you know, really committing to those choices, and not in a once in a while sense, but like, you know, every single day. And so once I saw on the screen for the first time, congratulations, like, I don't know what happened. Maybe there's a problem with the website. I use DraftKings Digital, by the way, you know, maybe I'll come back to that later. But when I saw on the screen for the first time, congratulations, your ebook has been published, I just thought, man. You know, so that's what that feels like. Like, I actually started something and there were hiccups along the way. And for once in my life, I didn't quit. I didn't hit the ejector seat button, you know, like the Aston Martin and Goldfinger. And it's because I had this mindset that God, for real, I'm not speaking about God hypothetically. I'm speaking about God. He is a wellspring of everything around us in my opinion. He's watching us like Big Brother from 1984. You know, 1984, Big Brother, right? But in a good way, not in a harsh, punitive, you know, throw him in the Iron Maiden way, in a loving, paternal, kind of like Yoda, a whispering Skywalker. So once I published that first book, that's when I started writing like crazy. And it's been 5 years now. It's 2024. And I've got about 100 of these books online. Now, mind you, they're not very long. They're really glorified short stories. I mean, the last thing that I've written has been 30 to 40 pages long. But I always tell people, first of all, brevity is the soul of wit. It's a quote from Oscar Wilde. And secondly, a story is as long as it needs to be. Not very many people really have the time you know, to read one of these super thick novels. So most of them are 99 cents. You know, they're quick reads. I like to think that they're fun and entertaining. And am I about self-promotion? I absolutely am. I mean, I want to see a Lee Hackman Netflix series. I want to hear actors, you know, reading dialogue that I wrote. I want to read that book. But if it never happens for me, it doesn't matter because I'm on the journey. And this is my message to all of them. And I know that we all know this, but sometimes we need to remind ourselves of this stuff. You know, our destinations are all the same, right? You know, these bodies that our spirits are driving, you know, they're fragile. They're finite. You know, at a certain point, we're done. But what is important, the most important thing in my opinion, is that we're on the journey that's right for us. And when we deny that little bird that's nattering away in our brains, or that tiger that's trying to claw its way out of its cage, it's like here's an example. If you want to be a pilot, let's say you want to get your pilot's license, right? And then 10 years later, you haven't taken so much of the baby step towards getting your pilot's license. This is an example, but you've been thinking about it every day. I guarantee you that for the entire time of those 10 years, no matter how awesome other aspects of your life are, and those feelings of insecurity, like what's wrong with you? Why can't you pull the trigger? Those feelings are picked up on by other people. So we have to feel good about ourselves. And I think that we can feel good about ourselves unconditionally. This is something that I went in therapy. I was in therapy for in the early 2000s. I did cognitive therapy, and I found it to be very beneficial. And I read all these self-help books. You know, Anthony Robbins, you know him, Awaken the Giant Within.
Yeah, Tony Robbins.
With the great motivation speaker, right? And I read these books, and I listened to the tapes, and I did the exercise. You know, write down 5 things you can do right now to change your life and all this stuff, right? And you know, I'd take these little baby steps forward. Like I would join a gym sometimes, or I would do kickboxing, or I would try to eat healthier. But for me, until 2019, it was a classic case of one step forward, a two steps back. I was spending, let's say, 65% of my time when I wasn't working my job, just plonked down on my couch, you know, pounding down junk food and watching DVDs night after night. And it just living this very, you know, vicarious existence. Once I reached out to God, you know, ask and you shall receive. You know, you ask God for the winning lottery numbers. I don't think that's going to work out. whatever you want to do. But if you ask God for love, boy, oh boy, you'll get it. And that's why you and I are talking right now. Because I love myself. We should all love ourselves. We absolutely should. No matter what you've done or tried to do or failed to do or haven't even attempted to do, we need to have a default position in our minds, because life is hard sometimes. I don't care who you are. It's meant to be. We have unforeseen things happen. There are things that happen that are beyond our control. And that's why it's so important to keep things focused on what's within our control. And that's why I don't watch the news. I spend very, very little time watching the news. I'm recovering news junk space, even though it's a very conservative podcast. And I found, looking back, it's like, gosh, I mean, all that stuff was engaging and stimulating, but it was also driving me crazy, or crazier, and making me weaker on the side and less motivated to manifest, because it's all about the chaos and the madness. I mean, check out the Starbucks. Look at all these nice people, right? Getting their coffee, and some of them are writing, and they're just living their lives. The news is never going to report that, right? All the news, you know, if aliens came to Earth, and if they did a study on the human race based on the news, what would they report back to the home planet, right? They would report they were all a bunch of murdering savages. Well, most of us aren't. You know, there are a few bad apples. Yes, absolutely there are. And that's why we have wars. And it's very sad, but I don't know what the alternative is when people come along and they act like bullies. You know, the only thing bullies understand is a punch in the nose. But by and large, people, I think, are pretty decent. We're all doing the best we can. And again, it all begins with mindset. And if you're not used to thinking positive, it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. So what I would suggest to people who are listening to this podcast, if you find the idea of God to be too esoteric, a little too out there, but you're where I was 2019, before 2019, you kind of feel like you're spinning your wheels in life, then for goodness sakes, imagine that the person who loves you the most is watching you. Do it for them. You know, manifest your dream, whatever it may be. Maybe it's going back to school and getting a degree, or maybe it's starting a business, or maybe it's doing a podcast. You know, I'm 58, and I'm the only guy, everybody I know is much younger than me, and I'm the only guy I know who has in my personal life like a podcast. It's like, that blows me away. I think everybody should have a podcast, even just once a month. you know, you download the app, it takes all of 5 minutes, and then you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. I mean, why not, right? I can't believe more and more people are taking advantage of this technology. So not only do I have these books now, and there's more to come. And here's another thing. I've discovered over the last 5 years that I don't have to will myself to do this. And I think that's an important life lesson too. If I had to will myself to write, I wouldn't do it. But every time I open my dollar store notebook and I uncap my pen and I start scribbling away, boom, 2-3 pages. I'm like nothing. I start with it. I don't plot out everything in advance like other writers do. It's very improvisational, like jazz music, which I know nothing about, but I understand this. I didn't realize how much more fun my life would be if I just believed in myself a little bit more. Like doing this right now, like you giving me the opportunity to express myself is immeasurably more fun than sitting on a couch and watching, you know, season 10 of Mandalorian or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not dissing other people. I did that for 35 years. And I look back at that part of my life now, and I try to think of it as an investment of time rather than a waste of time, because now I'm spitting all of these stories back out through my filter, through my own perception, through my own adding my own life experiences. And again, you know, we all have a story to tell. Hasn't someone told you a story that was wilder than anything you ever saw in a movie or a TV show? Right?
Yeah.
But not everybody wants to do it. Or some people want to do it, but again, they just don't have faith in themselves. So what works for me is my faith in God, that there is a higher power, that he's real, that he's holy love and holy perfection. Again, he gave us free will. He gave us paradise initially, right? You know, the story of Adam and Eve and paradise, mm-hmm. right? The Garden of Eden. Well, I think he did that. If you take that story literally, I don't really take that story literally. I think it was a fable, a parable. But I think that the lesson of that story is that paradise sucks. You don't want paradise. I mean, paradise would be nice for a little while, but it would be like a vacation that goes on for too long, right? Mm. It would get boring because we need our challenges. I mean, imagine a movie where the hero, you know, imagine Hollywood made two movies about sailing. And in one movie, the guy's sailing across the world and it's clear sky. And at the end of the story, he meets a beautiful woman on an island and they get married. And then in the other version, there's a storm and the boat sinks and he's attacked by sharks and he swims to shore and he finds an island and there's a CIA agent who's been kidnapped by cannibals and he has to rescue her. Which movie is going to, the aliens that show up at the end, you know, which movie is going to make more money, right? The one with the drama, the one with the action, the one with the challenges. That we all have. And so that's my story in a nutshell.
And so when you're writing, is there like a schedule that you're following? For example, Stephen King, he used to write only in the mornings and then he would take a break, I believe, in the afternoons. Do you follow any kind of set schedule or you just write whenever something comes to you?
Well, I try to write every day, whether it's in my notebook or on my laptop. But I don't really think of it that way. I don't like to think of it as structured, but I generally write before work and then on my days off, you know, obviously I have plenty of time to do it. But I've heard writers say, I have to do 3,000 words or you know, sometimes I'll crank out a page and then I have days where I crank out 5 or 6 pages, you know, but, I would feel like if I went to bed without doing at least a little bit of writing, even if it was just one page, it would be like going to bed without brushing and flossing my teeth. Or it would be like, you know, going to work in the morning without taking a shower first. That's not going to happen. And it's another important life lesson that sometimes we need to remind ourselves, which is, you know, repetition. Do it every day, even if it's just for a couple of minutes. And then it becomes a habit. You know, when I was a younger man and I tried writing, again, it was very sporadic. Maybe once every 6 months, maybe I'll try to write something. Again, because I didn't have the mindset. And it wasn't like I had never heard of God before. I'd heard of God my whole life. So I'd always been something of an agnostic. But once I took this leap of faith, like 100%, like jumping into the deep end of the pool, then I was off and running. And that's why you're reading it. And it's, again, there is no finer act in life, in my opinion, than the act of creation. It doesn't have to be anything grandiose, because it could be a table that you built with your bare hands. But, you know, our lives need to have purpose, because it's purpose that gives our lives meaning. And so, you know, making a living and going to your job that wasn't your dream job when you were a kid, when you compromised because you had to pay your bills, and coming home after work and just living a sedentary life, which I did for 35 years. I really wasn't living back then. I was existing. Now I feel like I'm a player on the field of life, the playing field of life. I'm going for it. And I'm enjoying the journey more than ever before. And I'm 58 years old. You know, Herman Wolf, one of my favorite authors, one of the great novelists of all time, he wrote his last book when he was 100 years old. You know, we have to do one more thing, and then I think I have to go because my voice is drying out. But we have to live our lives in the present. That's where our power is. When we start thinking about the past, it really doesn't matter if it's a good memory or a happy memory, right? We're going to feel sad, right? And when we think about the future, maybe it's just me, but I think it's other people too, we tend to worry. All of our power is in the here and now because it's within our control. And that's what, again, that's what is motivating for me, is having this in my mind's eye all the time. And to go back to the way I was living my life before 2019, that's just not going to happen. That's impossible because I'm so much happier now than I was then. Anthony Robbins likes to say that there's a huge difference between happiness and pleasure. The way that I was living my life before 2019, it was giving pleasure. I was living like a drug addict, basically. I put all my eggs into one basket, and I wasn't breaking into people's homes and cars just for my quote-unquote habit of KFC, eating KFC pizza every night, and just watching DVDs and Netflix for a little while. But, you know, I carved out this little groove for myself, and I wasn't happy to be there, but I was comfortable to be there. And one day I just came home from work, and I don't remember the first day that I talked to God. But it's like, once I started talking to God, I began to feel really loved for the first time. And I'm not suggesting my parents didn't love me. I know that they loved me, but it felt like more of a conditional kind of love. Maybe not so much for my mother, but when you feel that you're unconditionally loved, it's motivating. This is what is motivating me to reach out to nice people like yourself, fellow bliss manifestors, people who believe in themselves, sticking their necks out. You know, we're not doing it because we're thinking, oh, it's going to make us a ton of money necessarily. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if it did, right? Or doing it, you know, some people might make fun of us. You know, sometimes we get some negative feedback on Facebook, you know. And that's another important life lesson too. Like you see the movie Rocky Balboa, where Rocky says to his son, you know, life ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You know, you have to take the hits. People will criticize. They will make fun of them. Those aren't the kinds of people that you want in your life anyway. Again, you have to have this in your mindset in advance, right? You have to prepare yourself. And I tried to upload that first book. I thought three clicks of a mouse and boom, I'm a self-published author. No. You know, again, but because I had God in my life, I stuck with it and I stuck with it and finally got that. And so, you know, that's it. That's my life. This is who I am. And there are a lot more stories to come. And I have a goal. I didn't have a goal before 2019. My goal is that someone out there who has the money and has the power, and Alan Ladd Jr., he's a box executive for Greenland Star Wars. You know, when George Lucas was trying to sell Star Wars back in the day, nobody was biting. Everybody pulled George Lucas, he was crazy. Now, am I comparing myself to George Lucas? Well, yes, quite frankly, I am. Obviously, I'm not as successful as he is. Obviously, I'm not as wealthy like he is. But I believe in my stories as much as I do. And sometimes you can have a really great idea and everybody around you thinks that it's total garbage. I'm sure that the first person who invented the wheel, whoever that was, I'll bet there are people who criticize you. What, the wheel? What? This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen, right? Or the person who created fire. Yeah, I'm sure many people did. I'm sure it wasn't just one person. But, you know, I can imagine that in some villages, you know, thousands of years ago, you know, someone discovers how to make fire. That guy or gal probably got killed. Right, because people are like that sometimes. They're just so fearful. You know, they're just so knee-jerk in their reaction to something that's different. They don't see the people. They don't, and it can be terrifying at times. But this is why we need to live in a world where more and more of us believe in stuff. It's never going to be a perfect world. There's always going to be the bad stuff. But my feeling is that there will be less of the bad stuff. The more of us as individuals have faith in ourselves and can turn to ourselves and not get hung up on the past and other people's opinions and all this stuff in our minds that are these obstacles that block us from self-manifestation. And I think I'm done.
And so are you talking about your books and these concepts also on your podcast?
Well, thank you for mentioning that. Yes, I have my own podcast. It's called the Johnny's Way Podcast. And what I'm doing is I was reading my short stories as that was my podcast. Basically, like kind of like audiobooks, but no sound effects or music or anything like that. Just me reading my stories. And then I just recently finished reading one of my Lee Hackman books, which is called Net Worth, which is about the murder of a professional tennis player. So anyone out there who wants to get in touch with me, my Facebook group page is John Leister. My group page is Johnny's Way. I have over 700 members and growing strong. And I have my profile page is Johnny's Way. And if you go to Kobo or Indigo and type in John Leister, you can check out my books. My email is johnleister601@hotmail.com. I've done this before, time permitting. I would be more than happy. I want to make money doing this. But at the end of the day, it's about sharing. And I love getting feedback from people. I'm tremendously honored when anybody takes the time to read one of my stories. Or some people have actually read a couple of my books, and the feedback I've gotten has been pretty nice. Some constructive criticism here and there. But I would be more than happy to email anybody who's interested in one of my books or one of my short stories. And at the end of the day, yes, it is about self-promotion, but I like to think that I'm inspiring other people out there. I hope that who are my age or maybe even older and feel like their ship is sailing. It's completely preposterous. It is the worst mindset. You know, again, we have to live our lives. And as long as we have passion and as long as we have some cognitive ability, the sky's the limit.
Are you currently writing anything right now?
Oh, yeah. So my latest book is called Lee Hackman, Private Investigator in Napoleon Simple, and it's about a serial killer of a tall man, of all things, very tall man. And because I've had this experience sometimes, you know, working for, because I'm fairly tall, I'm 6 feet tall, average height, I guess. But I've noticed that some guys I've worked with over the years were shorter than me. I always had a hard time getting along with them, and I think that was part of the reason. I just think that a lot of guys who are quote unquote vertically challenged, they just have huge chips on their shoulder. So I explored that theme a little bit. And actually, I finished that one today. And the next one, which I'm going to start tomorrow, is called Assisted Killing, which is about euthanasia. So, I mean, you know, I've got at least 6 more ideas on my phone. And if I ever run out of ideas, well, there's this thing called the internet. And here's another thing. I never worry about originality. For goodness sakes, if I worried about originality, and I wouldn't have a single book online. There's nothing original out there. What makes a story original is that it comes from you. Again, your perception, your filter. I mean, I've read novels where I thought, gosh, you know, this story is like almost exactly the same as the last novel that I read. But I still enjoyed it because there were certain aspects of it that were unique to the author. I mean, I remember reading The Sword of Shannara when I was a kid by Terry Brooks. You know that author, Terry Brooks? He writes fantasy and science fiction novels. I remember reading this book and thinking, well, gosh, this guy's just taken Lord of the Rings. He's just changed the names of the characters, and instead of a ring, it's a sword. But you know what? I didn't care. I still enjoyed reading the book, and it was a bestseller, and the Tolkien estate, you know, didn't sue him, you know. So, you know, you have to write whatever is in your mind. Just spit it out there. You know, if you want to write a story about a farm boy who lives in another galaxy who goes off to fight an empire, then you should tell that story. You know, you just make little changes. You know, maybe it's a woman. And maybe it's Nazi Germany instead of another galaxy, you know, or maybe it's a fantasy realm that you create, you know, whole fly, right? And I think I'm writing on fumes right now.
And so, you know, people listening to you right now, they might be thinking, hey, you know, John wrote all these books. You know, I feel inspired to write too. What are common, like, writer mistakes that newbies kind of make usually?
Well, okay, that's a great question. Nobody's asked me that before, so I have to actually think for a second. I think the worst mistake, or I hear this phrase a lot, writer's block. That's a pile of garbage. Again, that's a limitedly self-defeatist mindset. You either want to write the book, or you don't want to. Now, I think the mistake that writers make, and I've done this a little bit, is when we second-guess ourselves. You know, just get the words down on your notebook or on your keyboard, and then you can futz with it after the fact. You know, if I'm looking at my notebook and 15 minutes later I still look at a blank, I'm looking at a blank page, I'll just create like a new character, or I'll come up with some scenario that maybe has nothing to do with the actual plot. Like I'll just come up with some left field plot thread, and then I'll try to tie it in at the end. Again, it boils down to this. You either want to write or you don't want to write. And if you have to will yourself to it, then maybe it's not really what you were meant to do with your life. But if you do have the desire, for goodness sakes, and again, I getting back to originality, that's another big mistake. Because I hear people say this all the time. They say, you know, John, I want to write a book, but I have no original ideas. That's the dumbest thing. That, you know, all my stories can be compared to something that's come before. You know, without Flash Gordon, there's no Star Wars. You know, before Batman, there was the Phantom, there was Zorro, there was Robin Hood. You know, it all goes back to David versus Goliath, right? Just, if you have the desire, then act upon that desire. And again, and oh, here's another thing. Never write for what you think the audience wants. I write for me, period. I write stories that I like, that I find to be interesting. My stories are old school. They're not politically correct. That's why I said them during the 70s, for the most part, because it was a different time. I hope that they're not offensive. But, you know, they're kind of, you know, BS. I mean, Lee is a very straight arrow, a good guy, and with a sense of humor. He's a wisecracker. And again, he's sort of my avatar. You know, I think that's what Ian Fleming did when he created James Bond, or Edgar Rice Burroughs when he created Tarzan. Tom Clancy when he created Jack Ryan. They're idealized of ourselves. So again, I think the biggest mistake, here goes, short answer. The biggest mistake that new writers make is when they don't write. Okay? Just do it. And never mind what other people think. Do it because it pleases your soul. That's the reason that I write. I'm writing for me. You know, Stan Lee, before he created the Fantastic Four, you know, he was writing comic books for 20 years. And none of those comic books that he wrote for children. Once the publisher, Marvel Comics, said, you know what, Stan, you just write whatever you want to write. You just write, you know, I'm not going to tell his, like, for example, he couldn't use more than 2-syllable words. Like, there were all these restrictions back then. And finally, the publisher said, Stan, you just write what you want to write. Well, he wrote Fantastic Four. And it sold like a million copies. Like, that's how that works, right? Mm-hmm. You try to write for other people. I mean, I'm not saying it can't work because at the end of the day, it's kind of science. But you have to have faith that there will be enough people out there who like what you're doing. I mean, if 90% of the world thought that my stories were total garbage, or if they were indifferent to them, but maybe 5%, a few thousand people, you know, like my stories, then I can have a career as a professional writer. And that's my goal.
Is there anything that you haven't written yet that you would like to write? So, for example, like a screenplay or something like that? I don't know if you've done screenplays yet.
I have written one screenplay called Heat of the Moment. It's on Amazon. But no, I mean, you know, when I wrote The Treehouse Avengers, which was my first novel, I remember thinking, you know, maybe this is it. I had these short story collections with my Lee Hackman character. There's 8 or 9 of those. And then I wrote Treehouse Avengers, which is a standalone. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll just spend the rest of my life trying to market this stuff, you know, trying to get a movie deal or a TV deal, which is obviously still my dream. Mm-hmm. But then I started asking myself, like, what if? Like, what if Lee's mom was charged with a murder? Well, that became homicide. What if there was a nuclear bomb in New York City and Lee had 24 hours to find it? That became Army Get Down and Boogie. You know, and it's, I keep coming up with for what I think are new ideas for this character. So, you know, I don't know. It's I don't have like a specific project in my mind's eye that I want to get to. It's just this ongoing, I finish one book and then I start another one. Finish another book and I start another one. You know, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And again, I have the mindset now, and better late than never.
Yeah. And my last question for you, before I let you go, is there anything that you like about writing now that you didn't like when you initially started?
That's a great question. I mean, I love everything about writing. I mean, it's what I was meant to do with my life. You know, I can't fix a car. I can't shingle a roof. I mean, I could probably learn to do that stuff if someone was patient enough to teach me. And I would suggest that people who can do that stuff are probably more useful in the long run. But this, I didn't realize how prolific I could be. I didn't realize that every time I open my notebook, the words just come, 90% of the time, there is the odd quote unquote, you know, where I feel a bit of a stall. But I didn't realize that I could be such that I could crank this stuff out day after day. And again, how much fun it is. I didn't realize that how often I would be. Sometimes I make myself laugh, or I make myself cry. the biggest thing that I've discovered since I started doing this is particularly when it comes to writing, is the feeling of discovery. Mm-hmm. You know, you're writing and you're not sure where a story's going, and you go, oh, this is so cool. Like, I wrote a Lee Hackland called The Righteous and the Can of Damned, where Lee's on the, that one takes place mostly in Vancouver. Lee's based in New York. And so Lee's on the flight back to New York City, and I was writing the ending, and I thought, oh my God, there's a terrorist on the plane, and she's murdered the flight crew, and now Lee has to land the plane. And I thought, like, I lost my mind as I was writing this, because again, it's that feeling of discovery. And it's such an important life lesson. You don't know what you're capable of until you actually do it. You have to do it. And if it's not a good fit for you, I tried stand-up comedy 4 times, believe it or not, and I discovered that it wasn't a good fit for me. I remember I was thinking after the 4th time, I don't want to do this anymore. I remember thinking, well, here I go again. Is this me starting something and then, you know, it wasn't what I thought it would be, now I'm quitting? There's a huge difference between quitting and discovering that something is not a good fit for you. It's okay. It's okay to quote unquote quit. If you know, you tried it out, tried to write. You know, I'm sure a lot of people try to write and nothing comes out. That's fine. It just means that maybe you were meant to do something else with your life. But this is what I was meant to do with my life. Writing is a good fit for me. Talking, obviously, is a good fit for me. I don't know if anything that I've said makes a lick of sense. But sharing my story, inspiring other people, again, hooking up with nice people like yourself who believe in themselves. You know, this is what I want. I want to be around positive energy for all my remaining days. You know, the people who in my life who just want to talk about their pet peeves and the news, you know, I just minimize contact with them. I mean, I love them. They are who they are. But, you know, they're where I was in 2000. I don't judge them, because at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We're all human beings, whatever strengths and weaknesses. But they're where I was before 2019. You know, they don't want to roll the dice and really go for it, because they may say that they have God in their lives. But if they really, really did believe in God, then all, it's a funny thing. When I took this leap of faith, it was like all these obstacles in my head, it was like, boom, literally, because it all boils down to love, self-love, and it's not narcissism. And anybody who suggests to you that you're a narcissist, loving yourself, you don't want those people in your life. So if I didn't love myself, I couldn't do this. I wouldn't be writing these books if I didn't love myself. You have to love yourself. And other people pick up on the scene. And I think that they feel that love too within themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. You know, if you don't love yourself, who will, right?
Exactly. You have to give yourself a thumbs up in the mirror at least once a day. And you have to wink to yourself like you mean it, like you really mean it. And if you're following your bliss, then you really mean it. But if you're not, then you better change your mindset, because life is short, boys. I'm lucky I made it this far.
Well, I'm glad you made it this far. Thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge and wisdom. I know you're on a tight schedule, so I don't want to keep you too much longer. But before I let you go, if you could just remind my listeners one last time where we can find you and connect with you.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much, Pinder. It's been a great fun. So my profile page on Facebook is John Leister. My group page is called Johnny's Whites. Everybody, please feel free to join. I write what I like to think are inspirational and uplifting essays on self-motivation. And my books are available on Kobo and Indigo and Barnes & Noble. Anybody who wants to be a self-published author, I highly recommend Draft 2 Digital. It's free. It's easy to use. Nobody had to help me with that website. And what they do is they springboard your books to different platforms. So all my books are available on all these different platforms, like Kobo is another one, and Barnes & Noble. And then if you want, and then recently I discovered another website called Poster My Wall, and sorry, postermywall.com. And that's how I design my book covers. If you go to YouTube and if you type in John Leister author, you can check out some of the other podcasts that I've been on, or I pretty much talk about the same stuff.
All right, John, it's been an absolute pleasure. Best of luck to you.
You as well, Pinder. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Curious Expression Podcast. Hit that subscribe button now to ensure that you don't miss out on any future guests.